but only slowly. The reading that we had this morning from the Psalm 15, I should have had for this evening, not this morning. So we're going to have it this evening anyway. And that's Psalm 15. And Victor read it this morning, and I'll read it this evening. Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to his neighbour, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honours those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. God's word to us, timeless and relevant. Number 840, how blessed is life if lived for thee, and certainly that psalm shows us the way in which we should be living. But we need to see them as more than just words of greeting. They are words of faith, not simply words of greeting. And so Peter writes, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, that's a great blessing already, isn't it? Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so he goes on. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. But if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a marvellous reading. God's precious word to us tonight. I'm going to join Gerald and we're going to have two songs of praise. Well, this evening is the final in a series of five on growing in our Christian faith. This morning we were looking at the subject of growing in fellowship, which was number four, and you can catch up on that on the website. So we have covered growing in love, and I'm having a senior moment. So growing in love, all right, growing in gratitude, growing in anticipation, growing in fellowship, and growing in godliness this evening. Growing in godliness. Who are you? Who are you? Well, you could give me your name, and that wouldn't tell me very much. Although if I repeated your name to somebody else, they'd say, oh, I know Victor. And they would bring to mind who Victor is. Who are you? You are who you are. You are who your parents are. You are who your friends are. Think about it. You are your culture. You are what you view and listen to. You are your education. You are who you admire. You are who you worship. Who are you? Each of us is the product of a lot of influences. Some of them we have no choice in, and other influences we have complete and total choice. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Who are you? Who am I? The Bible says that whoever we are, in order to get into the kingdom of God, there is only one way. And Jesus said to that very righteous and sincere and genuine Pharisee, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, Even you, Nicodemus, a respected Pharisee, if you want to see God's kingdom, if you want to get into it, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And those who are born again have new desires. We're going to spend the evening mainly in Peter. 2 Peter, but 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds us of some of those new desires. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We're talking about growing in our salvation at the moment. And the true mark of a healthy baby is that it immediately wants to suckle. It immediately is thirsty for its mother's milk. If we have been born again, if you have been born again, who are you? Who am I? What are my appetites? What are my desires? If I am born again of the Spirit, I will have a healthy appetite for God's Word. As newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk. And that spiritual milk, that Word of God, is so comprehensive and so dynamic and powerful that it will begin to address every part of our life. It will leave nothing uncovered, even down to our thoughts, our desires, the things that we look at, the things that we crave for. And so God's Word is absolutely crucial to your life. And as I said this morning, you and I need to be feeding on the Word of God. And if you're finding that reading the Bible and prayer is getting busied out, you will drift into becoming a mere churchgoer and a nominal Christian. And you will lose the dynamic and the power and the vitality that the Holy Spirit desires for every one of us. We will end up with nothing to pass on to others, because we've got nothing ourselves. As newborn babes, we are to desire and drink deeply of that pure spiritual milk. God's Word brings about change in our lives. It cannot help but do that unless we sit on it and stamp it down. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, you were taught, so the apostles have been teaching God's Word here, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So that's the first thing. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Secondly, you're also taught to be made new in the attitude of your mind. And, furthermore, to put on the new nature, the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created to be like God. We read in 2 Peter earlier about the divine nature. And so God's Word is like yeast in bread dough. It is that active agent that transforms a miserable piece of dough into something large and consumable. Are we being changed to be all the same as each other? Well, yes and no. Each one of us, of course, is unique. Yes, we are to be changed like one another in this sense, that each of us is to be more like Jesus. But on the other hand, each of us has got those unique characteristics that make me, me, and you, you. Sometimes in life, I'm afraid, and in the church is no exception, we want everybody else to be like us. And we get rather annoyed when they're not. But the richness and the diversity in this congregation comes as part of God's design and God's work in our lives day by day. So growing in godliness includes a whole raft of wonderful ways in which we can be being transformed, being changed. And so we'll let's focus now on 2 Peter chapter 1. And first of all, Let's look at our resources for growing. Now, Brenda and I enjoy our garden, and it does require quite a lot of work, more than we actually put into it. A garden can consume as much work as you care to give it. And it needs a lot of nourishment in order to produce good flowers, or if you like, Pastor John, good vegetables. Is that right? So, and that requires probably a lot more nourishment and a lot more attention than I would be capable of giving. Resources for growth. What are the resources for growth that God has given us? Well, here we are. Verse 1. A precious faith. A faith as precious as ours. And that faith is not something nebulous. It's not something vague. If you want to find out exactly what that faith is, take a look in your own time at 1 Corinthians 15. We won't look at it now. And Paul gives a little summary about that which comprises our faith in Christ. The faith once and for all entrusted to the saints. A faith that has a history. A faith that has facts and people and God's dealings. Not something that's been conjured up. We have a precious, a priceless faith. This is our great resource. It's not something that we have imagined. It's been passed down to us reliably through the scriptures. Secondly, we have, as part of our resources, the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. This knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, again, we gain that by reading through the whole Bible. Some of us get sort of stuck in just reading the New Testament. We're less comfortable with the old. But you know, the old is the Word of God, just as much as the new. Feed on it all. Our knowledge of God is nourished by the Word of God. And if you're not reading the whole of the Word of God, you will have a distorted image of what God is like. You'll have a diminished view of what God is like, because you're only staying with one little bit. Resources for growing. Grace. The grace of God and the peace of God that Peter speaks over the dispersed believers that he is writing to. God's grace and God's peace is our resource for daily living. His peace that is not like the world gives. His peace through our relationship with God through faith in Jesus. His grace to take us through the tough times as well as the comfortable times. We need to be feeding on that grace. Verse 3, His divine power. His divine power. Now, of course, that is given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And just reflecting back to one of the scriptures we looked at this morning in Acts chapter 2. Maybe we didn't read this back. Peter says to the crowds, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." When I visited India, as I have on several occasions, it's very normal for people to come up to me as a white man, a pastor, and to respect me a great deal, and to ask me to pray for them, as though my prayer was more powerful than their prayer, or maybe their pastor's prayer. But as Pastor John reminded us, we are a kingdom of priests. And if we're in Christ, we have equal effectiveness, equal power in prayer. And my prayer is no more powerful than your prayer if it is a prayer in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God anyway. And so that power of the Holy Spirit is our great resource, always continual. More resources. Verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. Some people grew up with a promise box in their house. A little box with scriptures that they could open, and it was a promise of God's word. And something like that could be a little bit like a horoscope. Pardon my drawing a parallel. Sort of a bit like a lucky dip. But if we make sure that it's not, and it's God's word that we're just receiving and believing, that's fine. God's promises. I looked up God's promises on the internet. And you know what? There's a wonderful website with some precious promises of God. And these are to be received and believed and lived by. But don't take them out of context. Our resources for growth. Look to your left and to your right or behind you. Could you do that? Have a look round. Have a look round. Who's in here? Who's behind you? If they walk out before you get up, you won't even know who's behind you. Our resources for growth are each other. So don't walk out too quickly, because you will forfeit the opportunity of being an encouragement to one another if you walk out without talking to somebody. The body of Christ is a major resource for growth. Jesus said, I will build my church, and we know that his church is the body of Christ. You need the person next to you. You need the person behind you, to the side of you. We need one another to build one another up in godliness. So those are some of the resources for growing. But it's great being told what the resources are, but what if you really don't want to grow? What if you can't really see the point? You know, can't I just turn up at church once a week, do my little bit for God, and then go home? Isn't that enough? Well, no, it isn't actually. But the incentives for growth are enormous. Verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that, right, so this is the phrase that links the resources to the incentive or the goal even. So that through them you may, what does it say? Participate, koinonia, fellowship, experience, you may participate in the divine nature. You think, oh, come on, I couldn't do that. I can't be like God. I can't be like Jesus. Well, what does it say here? So that you and I may participate in the divine nature. So that's, well, if that isn't an incentive, let's just go home, shall we? Also, he says, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It's one thing to moan about the corruption in the world, but are we bringing the corruption into our living rooms? There's a thought. Are we bringing the corruption of the world into our living rooms? We complain about it when it's outside, but we're entertained by it when it's inside. I think there's a little bit of a problem here. Escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So that's an incentive. Another incentive. Verses 8 and 9. If you possess these qualities, and we'll see those in a moment, these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be an ineffective Christian? Hands up who wants to be an ineffective Christian? No? Who wants to be an unproductive Christian? No? Okay, right. Well, we have resources here. This is an incentive. Because as we apply ourselves to God's word, this will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. So that's brilliant. Verse 10. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. So in other words, as we apply ourselves to the things that Peter is teaching, we are actually demonstrating that we truly are born again. That we are called, chosen, elected by God. And how's this for the greatest incentive of all? Verse 11. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And of course, the rich welcome is God Himself. We will see Him. We will be like Him. You know, people say sometimes when there's a bereavement, oh, at least they'll be able to be with their relative. They'll see their mum, or they'll see their dad, or they'll see their sister. Well, maybe. But are you telling me that that's more important than seeing God? It sort of pales into near irrelevance compared with the incredible wonder of being in the presence of God. I don't want to go to heaven so that I can see my relatives. I want to go to heaven so that I can be with God. Amen? Isn't that an infinitely better reason for wanting to go there than any number of relatives who may have deceased? Well, finally, growing requires effort. Just as our garden requires quite a bit of work, it never gives up, especially when it rains. Growing requires effort. But remember, all growth will bring you closer to God. You see, for the garden to prosper, it needs the gardener visiting it frequently. We need the presence of God. Growth brings us closer to God. Growth produces fruit. You see, this evening we're not talking about being religious. We're not talking about being churchgoers. We're not talking about the externals. This isn't just Christianity. This is the reality of walking with God, walking beneath His smile. So Peter has some specifics here, and they are made possible by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The opportunity for this growth, dear friends, occurs throughout the day, throughout the week. We have a Saviour whose life we know absolutely nothing about between the age of 12 and 30. Nothing is written down. But what we do know is He had to go out to work, just like many of you do. And it's in the place of work, and when you get back home, it's right there where nobody else is watching, that we are learning how to grow. And Jesus grew in faith, in character. And of course he was God in the flesh. But it says in Scripture that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus knew what it was to be at work. The frustrations and the fulfillments. Work is not your enemy. You may think, I wish I could get a better job. Well, probably most people think that. But you know, your work is not your enemy. Your old nature is your enemy. Your work is the place where you can grow. It's the place where you can grow up in Christ. Your home is where you can grow up in Christ. Anything, even if it's a concentration camp, is a place where we can grow in Christ. Every day, at work, Jesus had to exhibit these qualities. So, we have got all that we need. Alright? Are you clear? Everybody awake? You have got everything that you need for life and for godliness through your knowledge of Him who has called you by His own glory and excellence. Alright? You've got it. You don't need a mountain of books, although they're great and encouraging. You don't need endless preaching. That's good and encouraging, I hope. But you've got it. You've got it. So, this is what we've got to work at. For this reason, in view of all these things, dear brothers and sisters, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth the effort, okay? It's going to be worth it to add to your faith goodness. And I'm not going to try and unpack each of these words. I'm just reading them out. To add to your faith. So in other words, don't stay at ground level now. You've got your faith in Christ. Great. Hallelujah. But now grow. Grow in goodness. Grow in knowledge. Not merely head knowledge, but the knowledge that comes from experience and walking with God. Grow in self-control. All of us have a struggle with that. The self-control can be in all sorts of very personal and private areas, and sometimes very public and embarrassing areas. But we need to grow in self-control. We need to grow in perseverance. And I'm afraid the only way of growing in perseverance is to persevere. That's it. And sometimes we say, Lord, please get me out of this fix. It may be a prolonged illness. It may be a prolonged work problem, relationship problem, whatever. And we want God to fix it fast. But what are we learning as we go through these difficulties? We need to grow in godliness. And I suggest that godliness is the word that embraces all of this for the sake of this evening. We grow in godliness, in godlikeness, in being conformed to the image of His Son, in being transformed by the Word of God and the people of God. And you know, God can use non-Christians to change us as well. The person that we wish wasn't in the office may be the very person that God is using to bring about changes in you and in me. Grow in mutual affection. This morning we were focusing on fellowship with one another. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And a church which is filled with people who turn up on a Sunday, attend the service and walk out without any contact with one another, you will never grow in your Christian life. You will never help others to grow in your Christian life. We need to grow in mutual affection. How can you have mutual affection if you're not rubbing, as it were, against one another, sharing one another's lives? And then he reaches the, as it were, the climax. Grow in love. Grow in love. The greatest of these, faith, hope and love, the greatest of these is love. Paul talks about all the spiritual gifts. And he doesn't say they're not important, he says that they are. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. But then he says, but the greatest of these is love. So may we at Hounslow West Evangelical Church be men and women who are determined to grow, not to remain static, not comfortable with where we've reached in our Christian life, but pressing on to reach the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, so that you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We want to hear those words, don't we? Well done, good and faithful servant. May that be true for every one of us in this building tonight. Amen. And so thank you for this time of fellowship in your presence. Thank you for your word. And we pray that your word will accomplish that for which you have sent it. It will fulfill your eternal purpose. And as we move into a new week, Lord, we pray that we will be growing in all things into Christ our head. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's share the words of the grace with one another before we part. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen. And do stay behind for refreshments if you are able.